You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
One of my favorite sports to play is softball. Now, let me be clear here. We're talking about slow pitch softball. Where the pitcher, when he throws is the when he pitches it, the pitch has to get between 6 and 12 feet. Just kind of lobs it in there for you to hit. And this, you know, I've played softball with basically the same group of guys for about 20 years. Starting back when I was in Hastings, we played together. And this weekend is Cornhusker State Games. So this is one of the weekends that I like to try and get back with them and play softball with them. It didn't work out this year, but. As Stacy and I, we were able to get out for a little bit to celebrate our anniversary on Friday, and we were driving around Lincoln and we saw the fireworks going off, and we couldn't figure out what it was for a while, and then we're like, oh yeah, Cornhusker State Games. It was the opening ceremonies. And so I love to play softball. I love those times where I can get away and where I can play with those guys. But I grew up playing baseball. You know, starting when I was 5 with coach pitch baseball, and then I played baseball until I was 17, and so some of those years of baseball and softball overlap, but there was one part of baseball that I just couldn't get. And so it made moving into softball a much more natural fit. I'm not a great batter. When it comes to baseball, you know, when coaches were pitching or when the little kids were throwing and they only had two options and it was fastball and changeup, I could hit the ball. But once that curveball came, or once they could throw sliders, I was toast. I could not see the pitch. I could not see the spin out of the pitcher's hands like really good baseball players do. You know, last week we talked about how important eyesight was and how important it is to see. Well, when my eyes were changing, I just could never pick that up. So it was important. It was good for me that I move into softball. Now again, right? Slow pitch softball. When I went on vicarage, the pastoral internship, when I went on vicarage in Buffalo, New York, one of the first weeks that I got there, someone came up to me and said, "Hey, do you want to be on our church softball team?" And I said, "Yes. I love softball. Let's go." And the first game came around, and I'm one of those that I have to be there like an hour early. And so I was there like an hour early, and ours was the first game that night. And so I was getting there. I was getting stretched. I was getting warmed up, and I saw the other team. I saw their pitcher just messing around on the pitcher's mound because he was throwing it really hard and really fast, and he was actually jumping towards the plate, and I'm like, well, that's a good thing that he's just messing around because there's no way I can hit that. He was not. Just FYI, if you ever move to upstate New York and they ask you to play softball, church softball, it's probably fast pitch. I was not good at that either. I need someone to lob a pitch into me. When it comes to softball, when it comes to batting, I need that nice high arc so I can have plenty of time to see what's coming and swing. Today in our Bible readings, we get some softballs. Now, if you were at one of the traditional services, if you'd come to one of the traditional services, you know, we always do the Old Testament reading, the epistle reading, and the gospel reading. And today for our gospel reading, was John 3, verses 14 to 21. So if you're able to do math, if you're able to count, you'll know that verse 16 is in between verses 14 and 21. This is the biggest softball when it comes to Bible verses, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. If I wanted to, I could probably walk up to any one of you and hand you a microphone. And once you got over your fear of speaking into a microphone, you could preach on this, right? You could talk about how this is the gospel text, right? It's the most well-known Bible verse in the world for a reason, because it tells us the entire gospel in this one verse. where we realize that we're a sinner in need of a Savior, and our God loved us so much that He sent His only Son to be our Savior, to die for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins, right? So that you wouldn't die, so that you wouldn't perish eternally, but instead that you would have eternal life, right? This is the Bible softball. It is just lobbed up there for you, and you could hit it out of the park. Well, in the Lutheran world, we have another softball. And it's from the text that I read for you earlier this morning, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. And this is the one that I still have to read in the English Standard Version because I memorized it in the NIV. And so when I look at it, I still get messed up. I don't know how many of you are like that when you memorized it in one way and you read it in a different way and it just doesn't jive. But because we're, you know, in the ESV, those pew Bibles in front of you are English Standard Version, that's what we're going to read it in today. That's what we're going to look at. But I'd encourage you, you know, throughout this series, I'm encouraging you, and really for the rest of eternity, to bring your Bibles to you with you to worship. So as you hear God's word, you can be making comments in your Bible. You can be highlighting. You can make notes. If you didn't bring it with you, I'm going to encourage you to pull out those pew Bibles today. Again, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. It's page 976. You could probably just put a bookmark in that, since we're going to be in Ephesians. But Ephesians 2, again, page 976 in those pew Bibles. But as Lutherans, we tend to focus on these two verses because we want to be very clear in what it is that we believe, that our good works do not save us. Right? We are not saved by our good works. It's only by the grace of God through faith, the faith that we are given by the Holy Spirit, that we have faith. Right? Our salvation doesn't come from our good works. This is the Lutheran softball. But there are times when non-Lutherans look at Lutherans, they sometimes think that we overemphasize these two verses and that we don't move past them. And honestly, their criticism isn't always wrong. Now, it's not always right, but it's not always wrong, especially when it comes to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Again, let me read those for you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But today I want to move us forward into verse 10. And this is where we're going to focus today. Verse 10, Paul continues. He says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Sometimes as Lutherans, we can have a hard time talking about good works. If I were at seminary right now and we start the words, you know, good works popped up, all the Lutheran antenna would start to come out. Like, what is he going to say about good? Is he going to go too far and say that good works are necessary for salvation? What's he going to say? We really want to stay away from the notion that good works are what save you, that your salvation is earned by your good works. We call that works righteousness. We want to stay as far away from that as we can. But when doing that, we have a hard time telling you what you should do, telling you that you should live in a certain way, that you should do things in a certain way, that there are things that you shouldn't do. And if we do, we usually put that at the beginning of the sermon so that by the end of the sermon, we can tell you, well, even if you aren't doing that, it's okay because Jesus died for your sins. So we have a hard time talking about good works. And so when I was looking through my Ephesians commentary this week, which was written by the president of the Lutheran Seminary in Canada, but as I was looking through that commentary, he had this phrase that I thought was just fantastic, and I hope it's helpful in a way that we can walk this line on how we talk about good works. He says this: "Your salvation is not from good works, but for good works." And you can read that "from" in two different ways. You can read it, the normal way that I read it is like, you are not saved by your good works. Your salvation is not from your good works, but it's for your good works. Another way that you can read that is, you know, we say that we're saved from sin. We're saved that we're saved from death, from Satan. Well, in that way, we're not saved from good works. Like, we're not saved so that we don't have to do good works, or that we shouldn't do good works, that we're removed from needing to do good works, but we're saved for good works. Right? That you are not saved as a result of your good works, but your good works are a result of your salvation. Right? If the Spirit has given you faith in Jesus, good works will follow. Not might, not should, will. Right? If you are saved, if you have faith in Jesus, if the Spirit has given you faith, good works will follow. And how can I say that so confidently? Well, it's because you are God's handiwork. Again, take a look at verse 10. It says, for we are His workmanship. We are His handiwork. The Greek word there is poema, which is where we get our English word poem. Right? You are God's poem. Maybe you're like, I don't like poetry. Okay, you are his handiwork. And maybe you like working with your hands, creating things, whether it's out of wood or out of metal. Maybe you just like making things. You know, we are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, right? You are recreated. It says created, but really it's recreated in Christ Jesus. You were once dead in your transgressions, and now you live. All right, so as you have your Bible open in front of you, I want you to look at all 10 of those verses, just to scan over those 10 verses, because, and especially as you go home, as you reflect on that, there's this flow throughout these verses. In the first three verses, we see that we are dead. We are dead in our transgressions. As the verses go on, it says we're actually walking, but we're walking in sin. We're walking in death. We're walking in our trespasses and sins. And then we see those next few verses where we see that God, even while we were dead, made us alive. It is His work. He did it, right? If you're dead, you can't do a whole lot. But so God made you alive. And then we get to verse 10 where it says, now we're recreated in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So my question for you today is, what has God prepared in advance for you to do? Well, what are the good works that God is calling you to live out in your life? Maybe as you think of some of those things, maybe you think, well, that might be small. That's too small. That's insignificant. That won't make that big of a deal. But let me tell you, if God has prepared something in advance for you to do, right? Remember, prepared by God. It doesn't matter how small or insignificant it might seem to you. It is incredibly important. It might be the one thing that person needs in their life as you love them in what might seem like a small way. It might just be the one thing that they needed because God has prepared this in advance for you to do. But maybe as you're thinking about this, maybe you're thinking that's too big. Right? That is way too big. There's no way that I could do this. It is just too big. I just cannot do it. Or maybe you're like the person that I was having a conversation with this week, and they know that the calling is big. They know that God will do it. But they also know that it will completely take them out of their comfort zone. And they like their comfort zone. And so while they know that the calling is big and while they know that it will be done, they're not super excited about doing it. We'll get to this in a couple weeks when we talk about Ephesians chapter 3 where we hear that God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. But let me just say this, whether you think it's too small or too big, you are not alone. Right? 36 times throughout the book of Ephesians, 36 times Paul uses the phrase in Christ or in Jesus or in Christ Jesus. One of those, 36 times, Paul wants to remind you over and over, and I want to remind you over and over that you are not alone. You are in Christ. So these good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do, whether big or small, He has prepared them in advance for you to do in Christ. So what is it that God has prepared in advance for you to do? Well, maybe as you're thinking about that, maybe you don't fall into either of those categories. Maybe you don't think it's that good work is too small. Maybe you don't think that good work is too big. Maybe you have no idea what God is calling you to do. You have no idea what these good works that God has prepared in advance for you are. And to an extent, really, that's all of us, right? We don't know what tomorrow brings. There will be opportunities that even if we see a vision that God has placed in us, there will be opportunities in our lives that pop up that we weren't planning on. But God was. God prepared you to be in that place at that time, to know that person in that season of life, to go through the season of life that you have gone through. He has prepared you in advance to do those good works. So this week, as you hear God's word, as you go home and reflect on God's word, and as you put it into practice, my biggest encouragement for you this week is to simply keep your eyes open, right? To pay attention to the needs of those around you, and then to ask God to be very obvious to you, to show you those good works that He has prepared in advance for you. And then, as Paul says at the very end of this section, walk in them. Your salvation is not from your good works. You are not saved by your works. You are saved by the blood of Jesus. And then your good works are a result of that salvation that you have in Christ. And so as God has prepared these good works in advance for you to do in Christ, this week as you go, walk in them. Walk in those good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do this week. Amen.